Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
Well, we love discussing issues here at KKHI, and there is no bigger issue, really, for so many people in our area that are college sports fans than realignment in the future of conferences and their college football and basketball teams. We got another earthquake in college athletics on Thursday, as it's confirmed that USC and UCLA are headed off to the Big Ten Conference. This is something that had been rumored and people had talked about now for several months since Oklahoma and Texas announced they were leaving for the SEC. People wondered what would happen with USC, Notre Dame. Not as much talk about UCLA, but some of the big Pac-12 schools in a league, in a conference that's clearly failing on a much grander scale than anything that ever happened in the Big 12. The Pac-12 is just an absolute mess and in a very weak position at this point. The headlines from this story are this: USC and UCLA are going to the Big 10. That brings 32 teams total to the Big 10 and the SEC, who appear now to have all of the power with the television networks to strike their own deals and have, I don't know, maybe we could say they could have an alliance, but we saw an alliance before. We had these conferences were aligned. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 actually had a strategic alliance going forward that they agreed upon to work together. And part of that strategic alliance was the Pac-12 commissioner not knowing that the Big 10 was stealing two of his teams. So forget the alliances. Forget what you think you know. Forget what you think is right and wrong. A president or an athletic director from school A could be talking to school B inside a conference and say, oh, I love the conference. We got all this good stuff going on. And at the same time, speaking with a commissioner of another conference trying to get out on their own and screw over the other teams in their league. That's clearly what's taking place. So once you identify that, it really changes the way we should view about what to do going forward. Because right now, the common theme of everybody talking about this move is the Pac-12's in dire straits. They're a mess. The Big 12 has never looked more solid because at least their plan has been done and they have 12 and they all seem unified and they're going to go forward without Oklahoma and Texas. So they're in good shape. In fact, we'll talk more about this in a moment. The Big 12 actually believes that, which is crazy at this point. And that potentially the SEC and the Big 10 could still poach more schools. The Big 10 clearly wouldn't say no to Notre Dame if they wanted to come in. Could they go to 20 each? Could they go to 24 each? Where could they be going? So there's a lot of moving parts. What I'm going to attempt to do here over the next few minutes is tell you what I think should happen with these conferences. And it should happen quickly. They really shouldn't hesitate. They should get on this. USC and UCLA are gone, and they'll be playing in the Big Ten in 2024. They have two seasons left where they are. This season, next season, 2024, they're in the Big Ten. That probably leaves Oregon and Washington calling the shots in what will be either the future Pac-12 or the disintegration of the Pac-12. Oregon is a big brand name. They have Nike money behind them. They're good in every sport. They're the big school in their state. They have a lot going for them. Washington is a massive population state. Washington is the school there. Again, this is interesting because you have Oregon State and Washington State, who are the lesser players in those states, but Oregon and Washington could be certainly schools that could be called upon, and you say we would want them in our league if we want to do a mega league. So what I would do right now if I were the Big 12, and we already have comments from the Texas Tech president who just hired a new commissioner, Texas Tech, Baylor, and KU's presidents, the three schools that were in the men's national basketball championship games the last 3 years, just hired a new conference commissioner. And before he even gets on the job, this is what he gets to think about. And here's what I do. The Big 12 is saying, the Texas Tech chairman is saying, we're good. We like our position. We got 12 schools. We're all in. We really like where we are. We're going to go do our rights deal. We've added some major cities, some different states to our footprint for television eyeballs, all of these different things. That's a terrible position. That has been a failed position for the Big 12 from day one. The Big 12 has always thought, we're good. We got this. We're right where we want to be. And it's never been. It has always had members looking to leave. If you don't think Kansas would leave for the Big 10, think again. They would be more than happy to go into that league and be a football doormat to play basketball in that league and be a big brand in that league and move in a heartbeat. They would. Anybody that tells you otherwise is lying. Oklahoma State is probably the best remaining athletic department, although Baylor could be it. So they could be coveted. Maybe the SEC is looking to add another program to put in with these schools. We don't know what's going to happen. What we know is if the Big 12 says we're good the way we are, a Pac-12 could be disintegrating, sure enough, but actually outworking the Big 12 and luring teams from the Big 12 to go to a new Pac-12 to replace USC and UCLA. The candidates are pretty obvious. Oklahoma State would be one of them. I would think that's not a giant eyeball grabber, but it's a really good department. And if the Pac-12 is just trying to shore something up and say, here we are, we're going to have 12 teams, they could move on that. Or they could try to go to 16 and add more. There's a lot of things in play here. They could take four or five of the schools from the Big 12 and have a new conference that is Western-leaning and maybe save it that way. If the Big 12 just sits on their hands, they're going to be in big trouble here. That's all I can tell you. They're going to be big trouble. So a lot of people think the Big 12 is in a position of strength. Oh, and Missouri fans, don't tune out of this podcast yet. We're getting to you too. And the SEC and the future of the SEC. We'll get to Missouri as well. This involves all three area schools here. KU, K-State, and Missouri. So the smart money is if the Big 12 is, which it doesn't sound like they're going to be, is going to be proactive and aggressive, that their logical move would be to go to 16 schools. And would you go to pick up some pieces of the Pac-12? Arizona and Arizona State seem obvious. Colorado would seem obviously, maybe even Utah. Then you have some alliances there and some new eyeballs in Arizona. But I don't think that's thinking big enough. Trying to catch up to these other leagues that are at 16, which should have been done long ago. The Big 12 should have been aggressive many years ago. They're not aggressive. There's never been anything aggressive in this league. The leagues that are growing, the leagues that are being aggressive, are the ones that are thriving. They're going out and cherry-picking the best members and making their leagues better. That's what the Big 12 should do right now. And there are a lot of different ways they can do this, and some of them may be controversial. Notre Dame, it looks like, is going to have to join a conference at some point. The way this is going, they're going to have to join one. Is any conference going to offer them two shares? Example, 16 schools in a conference with 16 schools. Each one of them gets 1/16 of the revenue pie. What if a conference offered Notre Dame two shares? And why couldn't that be the Big 12? What if the Big 12 got really aggressive and said, we can go get Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Arizona State, Notre Dame, let's grow this thing out. We'll offer a pair of shares to Notre Dame because of the money they'd bring. I'm not saying that's doable. I'm not saying Notre Dame would do it. I'm saying if I were running the Big 12, I would be the aggressor right now. You know you have 12 schools. You know you have a path going forward. But why would you stop there? Many people think they will try to add four from the Pac-12. That now they'll pick the carcass of the Pac-12 clean and add four. And I'm good with that. If that's what the Big 12 does, I think that's the right move. I think sitting still is absolutely the wrong move for the Big 12. But while you're playing catch-up with other 16-team conferences, why are you playing catch-up? Why not go ahead and put the pedal down? So here's my plan. Right now, as it stands, with USC and UCLA leaving and Oklahoma and Texas leaving, that's 22 schools in the Pac-12 and the Big 12. You find two more, you go to 24. This would be my plan. It would be a new league, not a conference. It would be a league. And I would call it just for the sake of discussion today, I haven't thought all this through all the way, but bear with me. The American League of College Athletics. It's the American League. There are two conferences in the league. Each one of them has 12 schools. There's an East and a West. That's obvious. Within this conference, there would be two divisions in each conference. There's four divisions total. You come up with cool names. I don't know what they would be at this point. You could do Pacific, Mountain, Plains, whatever. You can come up with cool names for the divisions. Rough sketch here. Again, remember you have to add two schools. For the sake of our argument here, KU and K-State are together with Iowa State, West Virginia, Colorado, and Cincinnati. There's six in a division right there. Maybe that's the Plains division. Another one Central Florida, Houston, Baylor, Texas Tech, TCU, and Oklahoma State in a division. Another division would be Arizona, Arizona State, BYU, Cal. Then you could talk about adding San Diego State, New Mexico State, or UNLV, one of those schools in a division like that. Then you have Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State, Stanford, and Utah in a division. It all works out geographically. It brings back what college fans love, and that is rivalries of their closest schools. You keep the rivals of these schools together. You keep Washington, Washington State together, KU, K-State, Oregon, Oregon State, Arizona, Arizona State. They're all in divisions. They play each other twice in basketball. You play each other every year in football. You have your local regional games. You play your divisions. What I would offer to the TV networks at this point for football is three postseason games, which nobody else offers. We're going to take division winners and play each other. And these would always be cross-conference. I know it could lead to two teams from one conference playing for the league title. That certainly could happen and present a rematch, but it would be fascinating to watch, I believe. For example, if, let's say, K-State and Oklahoma State each won divisions here in the Midwest, and Oregon and, I'm looking at my divisions here, Oregon and, well, we'll just use Arizona State. Oregon and Arizona State won their divisions out west. Oklahoma State would play Arizona State. K-State would play Oregon. The two winners of those games would be the league champion playing the next week. You build it up. It's pretty clear for these conferences, they're going to get squeezed out harder and harder into a college football playoff. And until the college football playoff expands, they shouldn't even be thinking about how to get a team into that, because the deck is going to be stacked against them. You build something that is not regional, it's national. It's four time zones. It's got Central Florida. It's got West Virginia, Cincinnati in the East Coast time zone. You got Eastern time zones all over the place in this conference. You have Central time, you have Mountain time, and you have Pacific time. You start football games at 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning, and you kick off your last game at 9:45 at night. And you are a mega league, and you have 24 schools, and you have three postseason games that get national attention. And you play it out. And we get back to the days of, these local games matter. Our rivals matter. If you're a KU or a K-State fan, you're playing Iowa State every year. Colorado would be back in the fold. So we bring Cincinnati in. West Virginia's been around. It feels right. West Virginia loves Cincinnati. Colorado would probably feel better coming back in with KU and K-State. Again, it gets a little tricky if one of the schools you add is Colorado State, because now they have to be in with Colorado. So it depends on who you add. To me, the schools that would be added, I would look to the Southwest. I'd go to the Los Angeles, San Diego market, add San Diego State. I would consider New Mexico State to bring in an entire state of people, or UNLV to bring in an entire state of people. And I'd put them in with Arizona, Arizona State, BYU, and Cal. That's what I do. You'd have them right there. The difficult problem here is BYU and Utah. Should they be in the same division? We could work it out. You can figure this out. And it's a big, massive project. And there's a lot of layers to it. But as you're watching these other leagues, do you think they're stopping at 16? Just ask yourself, is there any reason to believe that the Big Ten and the SEC are stopping at 16? I will reference Dennis Dodd, a friend of mine, who is, if not the best college football writer in America, very close to the best college football writer in America. He's written a great piece at CBS Sports. And remember, he lives in Kansas City. So he hears things and he's sensitive to these things. He is making the point in his article that if you don't think schools are about to get booted out, guess again, it's happened before. Schools have been booted out. And then he referenced Kansas State in 1989. They were almost kicked out of the Big Eight because the football program was so bad. But Bill Snyder saved it, thrived. Kansas State is in excellent position football-wise now. Sold-out stadium, world-class facilities, coach that just beat LSU in a bowl game and has beaten Oklahoma a couple of times, and their best recruiting class in decades coming in. They're in good shape in Manhattan. So I don't really think there's a big risk of K-State getting booted out. But for K-State, what if KU, Oklahoma State, some other schools line up and go west? Or what if they get offers from the Big Ten or the SEC? Are they gone? Yeah, they're likely gone. So Dodd points this out and says the SEC, if they do anything, is eyeing Clemson, Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame, Oregon, programs like that. Now, Oregon doesn't necessarily fit, but there is no geography anymore. It doesn't matter. If the SEC wants to do that, Dodd writes in his story, maybe they do like the idea of being at 16. What if they can add Clemson and Florida State to their footprint? Or Clemson and Miami? Clemson seems to be a big fish that a lot of people want. They're in the ACC. Dodd writes, and he doesn't write anything for no reason. Dodd writes, if Clemson and Florida State came in, Missouri and Vanderbilt would likely be out. So now we're talking about Missouri getting booted from the SEC. You want to talk about K-State or KU? In perilous situations in the Big 12, Missouri could be in the same perilous situation in the SEC. They are ruthless. Do not laugh at the words you're hearing on this podcast. Nobody knows where this is going. Anything is possible. The gloves are completely and utterly off. And to be honest, Missouri is not completely assimilated into the SEC, and it is not their fault. They've done everything they're supposed to do. It's the acceptance of the SEC. I spent a lot of time in Georgia. My daughter went to Georgia. I've been around it. They don't see Missouri as an SEC school still. They're in the same division, and they don't look at them even the same way they look at Kentucky, for crying out loud. They don't. Or Vanderbilt. They don't. And so Dodd writes, that's absolutely possible. If you could add Clemson and Florida State, or Clemson and Miami, or what if you could add Clemson and Notre Dame? Do you go to 18, or do you boot Miami and Vanderbilt? I'm sorry, Missouri and Vanderbilt. He's writing it, and if he's writing it, somebody has whispered it. Now, we heard whispers of USC, and again, not so much UCLA, but we heard whispers about, hey, USC to the, you know, the Big Ten. To me, it seems like that's Notre Dame's landing place. I got to think these leagues aren't stopping at 16. I think they're going to keep adding. Why wouldn't, if the Big Ten could find a way to add Notre Dame and let's say Oregon, why wouldn't they? If the SEC could add Florida State, Clemson, and or Miami, why wouldn't they? They're not going to stop. The only way to really take care of yourself and assure that you're in great shape is to get bigger. And the Big 12 doesn't seem to understand this. They're already making comments publicly. We're good. We like where we are with our 12 schools. That's not good enough. Getting to 16 is now a must for the Big 12. You have to be able at all times, very clearly now, you have to be able at all times to be able to absorb losing two schools and survive. The Pac-12 may not survive. A lot of people think that league is in giant trouble now, that they won't survive the way they have in the past, that it will be the Big 12 taking in Pac-12 schools. And maybe four of them are coming in. And if four of them come in and the Big 12 gets to 16, I'll be thrilled with that. But the answer for both of those conferences right now is a merger. The answer is a merger to 24. That's the answer. Now your league is four time zones, the entire country, more teams, more eyeballs than any of the other conferences. And if they come cherry picking at you, and they take two of your schools, you're still a 22-team league. It's the strength in numbers. There will be no... See, here's the question. There are people saying that the Big Ten and the SEC right now could form their own playoff and call it the national championship. I don't believe that. There's too many good programs not involved. Cincinnati was undefeated last year. You're talking about Clemson, Florida State, Notre Dame, Miami, Oregon, Oklahoma State, perennial top 15 programs I've just mentioned, they're all too good to exclude and say that's a legitimate national title. The way to combat that, because that's 32 teams in those leagues, the way to combat that is to get bigger yourself. It's just sitting here for the Big 12 and the Pac-12. There is no cherry picking. Stop the cherry picking. Merge. Big 12, Pac-12 merger is all four time zones. It's inventory out the wazoo. It's multiple contracts and streaming platforms. It's just sitting right there to be merged. It keeps traditional rivalries in states. It keeps schools together. This is a good thing. KU and K-State together. Arizona, Arizona State together. Oregon, Oregon State together. Washington, Washington State together. Stanford, Cal together. All of these things are good. BYU and Utah in the same league is good. These are all good things for college athletics fans. Again, these moves are never made for the fans. I read stories, people say, oh, the big winners are college football fans. No, they're not. They're not. If you're a TV viewer, Will there be some more interesting matchups here and there? Yes, of teams that you don't care about. USC and Notre Dame aren't your teams. Or USC and Michigan aren't your teams. So they'll be in a league together. What do you care? It hasn't worked for Nebraska. It didn't work for Colorado. It isn't working for Missouri. None of this stuff is working. And fans that run around say, well, yeah, we make more money than you. What does that mean? That means you have two soccer teams instead of one? You build a fancier rowing facility than somebody else? What does it mean? As a fan, you don't care. If we're being honest, what you care about is your football team and your men's basketball team. And that's all you care about. None of this has been good for fans of any of that. Everybody's getting worse. There are fewer champions out there. It's harder to win championships. Missouri was better in the Big 12. Maybe they'd like to come back. Now that rumors are out there swirling that they could get kicked out. You don't have national football writers of Dennis Dodd's caliber saying, look, if the SEC wants to add a couple of kick-ass schools, Missouri and Vandy are out. You didn't hear him say Mississippi State. Those teams have been around longer. Vanderbilt doesn't fit. Everybody knows Vanderbilt doesn't fit in the SEC. They never have. They're awesome. Vanderbilt's a great school, and they got a tremendous baseball program. There's a lot of things Vandy is great with, but they don't really fit the SEC. And I think they're essentially saying Missouri's never really assimilated, and that isn't Missouri's fault. It's not. They've never been accepted. Even in their own division, they don't get looked at as an SEC school because there was too much history in another conference. And their history is playing Kansas, for crying out loud. It doesn't. None of this has made sense for the fans, ever, at any level. And for the most part, the reason it hasn't made sense for the fans is teams that were good, teams that played for things meaningful, teams that played in passionate rivalry games, don't have them anymore. And you may boast your chest out as a Missouri fan and say, yeah, well, we play Alabama. Okay, whatever. Used to play Nebraska and Oklahoma, too, back in the Big Eight, and lost to them when they were winning national titles. It doesn't matter who you're playing if it doesn't move the needle with your fan base. Maybe we're a generation too late. Maybe the young people don't care if Missouri and KU play. I don't know. Maybe the rivalry's dead. It's on life support. They're bringing it back. They're going to play each other. They're playing basketball. They're trying to do some things. But maybe that's a day gone by. I don't know. All I know is that expanding out and growing is the only way. You have to have a conference now. And if the Big 12 sits at 12 and the Pac-12 adds a couple schools and stays at 12, if they do that, both leagues are just sitting there ready to get two or four teams taken away. And as soon as they are, the league just implodes. It's over. You have to grow. If the Big 12 isn't thinking today about a very bare minimum 16 by taking four from the Pac-12, if they're not thinking that right now at the bare minimum, then they're inept. They're in over their heads. They're not good stewards of college athletics or this conference. And the big picture idea is for the new commissioner and the commissioner of the Pac-12 to sit down and say, let's merge. We got 22 schools here. Let's just bring them all and let's pick two. Your 12, my 10, that's 22. Let's figure it out. We're going to add two more schools. We're going to be at 24. And basketball works out as well. I've thought of this. You play 10 division games. In your division, you play everybody twice. KU and K-State would play twice. Arizona State would play twice. You see where I'm going here. Then you play 9 games out of your division. That's half of the other schools. You do a home and home each and every year. So any kid that goes to any of these schools over the course of a 4-year education at that school will get a chance to see each of the other basketball teams in the conference. You do a home and home with the other 9. Then for the next 2 years, it's the other 9. And you play your division. I've thought of it. It's sitting right here. It's an easy plan. What is not a plan for the Big 12 is we're good. We really like where we are. Yeah, you do. You like where you are compared to the Pac-12, for sure. I get it. You feel stronger today. You feel emboldened that it happened to somebody else. Oh, but it's just waiting. If you don't think Kansas will leave, think again. They're ready. They got their bags packed in Lawrence. They are so ready to leave. If they get an offer somewhere else, they cannot wait to get out. Same thing for Oklahoma State. Bye-bye. They'll just be gone because they lost Oklahoma, and KU doesn't care two spits about K-State. And I don't think the Board of Regents at this point is going to stop it. There was a time and place where the Board of Regents in Kansas wouldn't have approved it, but that day's gone. They'll approve anything now to save one of the schools or do something that's good for one of the schools. They'll do whatever. This conference should be in merger discussions with the Pac-12, and it shouldn't be about four schools. It shouldn't be about cherry picking. Take them all. Build the mega league. Go out there in numbers. Play different days of the week. Give the networks what they want. Give them the inventory. Play on Thursday nights. Play on Friday nights. Play on Saturdays. Do it. You have a mega league. You could literally have a basketball game on every stinking night. You could schedule this thing out like the NBA, for crying out loud. You have 24 basketball schools. You could have a nightly contract with a network where there's a game on. They just don't think big enough. The NFL's 32 teams, baseball's 30, the NBA, hockey, they understand they're a league. That's what this would be. This would be the first college league with two conferences in it, four divisions. Play it off that way and play for what you're playing. And if there's something bigger and there's a national championship that allows eight schools in and your champion is in no matter what, go grab it and go play for it. If not, think of yourself. Think about your fans. Think about your television contract. Think big. Because just sitting still has never been good. And the numbers matter. I think it's just sitting right there. We'll see what happens. It's a wild time. KKHI is brought to you by Window World, online at windowskansascity.com. American-made windows, siding, and doors. John Gillette and his team, they'll come to you. You don't have to be in Kansas City. You can be a couple hours outside of Kansas City or any place in the state of Missouri. Window World's got you covered. Simply the best for less. Official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. 0% financing available over 18 months. These are the best products at the best price. Online, windowskansascity.com, or call them at 816-799-0820. Cross Kitchens, KC, Tim Cross and his family would love to work with your family on a new great space in your home for everyone to gather. Your kitchen. Remodel it. Make it beautiful. First class. Top notch. Go big, go small. If you just want to redo the countertops and the cabinets, he can do that as well. You want to tear down some walls, build a big space, do the whole thing? Cross Kitchens KC can do it. Most jobs are done in 2 weeks or less because once they start, it's an army. They come in and they get it done. They don't leave you hanging with a disrupted house and a bunch of plastic hanging everywhere for 3 months. No. They come in, they get it done, and they move to the next job after having make you completely happy with your new kitchen. CrossKitchensKC.com. Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Don't forget, they've got the lifetime warranty. Why would you buy a GM without a free lifetime warranty? Why wouldn't you do it? Roberts Robinson is the place. Everyone else charges for this. Mike Robinson has decided it's part of the deal. You come to Excelsior Springs to get your new car, lifetime warranty is yours. Chevrolet Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Don't forget, they're offering the biggest dollar amount for your trade-in right now. If you're not trading, if you're just selling, they'll buy your car. If you're buying one somewhere else, give them a chance to pay you the most that anybody's offering you for your car. RobertsRobinson.com. And Finch Knife Company, online at FinchKnifeCo.com. Available in-store at the Bullet Hole, Shields in Overland Park, Antique Tractor in Belton. Online at FinchKnifeCo.com. These guys are the best. The 1929 series is debuting now with new handles. They've done these before. These are the homage to the Grand Tetons. All new styles and designs and handles of the 1929 series. Available online at FinchKnifeCo.com. Okay, let's move on to things going on in the world. And we're mostly just talking about absurd things here today. It's Friday. We don't like to do a lot of big negative world global. So let's just start with the absurd. We have two Amtrak crashes this week. We have 1,100 flights delayed about every day, canceled. More than that, delayed every day. 28,000, too few workers in the airline industry right now. And our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, who you just can't look at and not laugh. I'm sorry. You just cannot take the man seriously. It is impossible. He no more than got his job and he took 6 months off. You can't. He did this week what Democrats do. Platitudes, words, not actions. Things that make you feel good. He hasn't fixed the trains. He hasn't fixed the planes. He hasn't done any of that. But he has announced $1 billion. Wow, this is aggressive. Are you ready for it? For a new road project that is anti-racist. I am not making this up. $1 billion for an anti-racist road project in America. Apparently, when we built the interstates, especially in the 1950s, the ones we built in the 50s. It was bad only for black Americans and good for everyone else. So we're going to go to black neighborhoods where there are interstates and we're going to put $1 billion into these things. I don't know what this entails. I didn't read long enough because there's so many black neighborhoods where interstates go through or are nearby that $1 billion doesn't seem like very much money to me. So it also seems like a scam if they really want to do something. Here's their argument. We build interstates. When we did, we segregated black people from white people. Apparently blacks live on one side of the interstate and whites on the other. This is news to me. I did not know this. I thought what we did when we built the interstates was ruined every small town on Route 66. That's what I thought we did. And I've driven sections of Route 66 just for the history of it. It's really cool. And it is wonderful to drive through some of these places and harken back to a day where they had these gas station motels where you pulled over every 15 miles or so and would stay the night driving your jalopy from Chicago to try to get to California and Los Angeles. It is a wonderful piece of American history, Route 66. The interstates ruined it. But they made it a lot easier for us to move goods and travel ourselves, didn't it? It was progress. The interstates were progress. And we were all better for it unless you own one of those motel gas stations on Route 66 that was not near a town. Some of those were in towns. Those towns aren't the same as they were. There was a thought that everything on Route 66 at one point was going to be boomtown. That if you invested and you built something on Route 66, you could never lose. Any restaurant, any gas station, any flea market, knickknacks, you name it. You couldn't lose. Until they built the interstates. Have we come up with billions of dollars for those communities? I don't care what happened in cities where interstates go with segregating people by skin color. It has not been as devastating as what happened to the people that staked their claim and built their lives on Route 66. It ain't even close. Sorry, it's not. More cars coming through can't be bad for business, can it? Can it be bad for commerce? It can't. It can't. This is my favorite typical Democrat thing. $1 billion on an anti-racist road project. That's what your transportation secretary is doing the week that he had two Amtrak crashes and averaging 1,000 flights a day canceled. God bless him. I mean, I don't know how they sleep at night. God bless them that they can even think about things like this and think this is what America needs. This is it. But you have to understand, they get so bogged down in things like race that they lose their minds and they don't really know the real world. They just see one thing and that's votes. Okay, keep stoking the flames of racism. Keep doing it. We got to keep that racism fire burning in this country or we become irrelevant as a party. We have to make sure that racism is alive and well. And boy, did Good Morning America try this yesterday. Good Morning America tried really hard for ABC. They put a tweet out. Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as a Supreme Court justice. And Good Morning America just decided to tweet out that she's the first African-American Supreme Court justice. Oh, my God, did that blow up the internet. Thurgood Marshall was selected for the Supreme Court in 1967. He was replaced by Clarence Thomas. Both of them are black, African-Americans. So basically, since I was in diapers, there's been a black justice on the Supreme Court. Folks, every box has been checked in this country. There's nothing left. Don't hit me with their correction wasn't. It took them several hours. They had to figure out what happened. And they thought, oh, here's an easy way out. We left a word out. Ketanji Brown Jackson is the first African-American woman on the Supreme Court. Well, she's not even close to the first woman. This is so stupid. She's not the first minority woman. There's no boxes left. Americans don't want to check any more boxes. There are no boxes left. We've done it all. And it's not your party. Your party was the racist party, the party of slavery. The Democrats were the racists, the slave owners, the ones that fought the Civil War to keep slavery. Do you remember that? You don't have any scoreboard. If you're a Democrat, you have no scoreboard on any of this. All you have is young minds, impressionable minds that you put in schools and you teach them something other than real American history and pound in their head that Republicans are bad and we're all racist and this stuff, and then get your media people on your side and you do things like this. There are people today, there are people everywhere today discussing this woman as the first African-American on the Supreme Court because they don't even know who Clarence Thomas is. They don't know. And they damn sure don't know how awful the Democrats were trying to keep him off the Supreme Court. Nobody was treated worse than Clarence Thomas by the Democrats in 1991 when they tried to keep him off the Supreme Court. This is so bad. These people are just idiots. And worse, they take us for idiots, and somehow we can't find our way out of this. But I feel like the boxes are checked. Way to go, Good Morning America. Nice work. If your doctor would like you to get an MRI or a CT scan, I've got a great place for you to go. This is really simple. Most places your doctor is going to recommend you go, you're going to wait 2 or 3 weeks. I would never do that to get an MRI or a CT scan. If I need that scan, I kind of need it now. Log on to medimageks.com. It's advanced medical imaging in Lawrence. Yep, might be a few more miles to drive, but you can get it done today or tomorrow, depending on when you call. They also offer for all of us, they take your insurance. For anything your doctor needs you to do, any imaging, they take all major insurance companies. You're good to go. Doesn't matter whether you stay with his doctor or you go this way and go to advanced medical imaging. Now, if you want to just check your health, I recommend to everybody over 40, it's what they recommend, advanced medical imaging, getting the heart scan done. Find out what your plaque score is on your heart. When they do this, they see every organ in your torso. The radiologist does. That's not necessarily what the test is for. It's no guarantee they'd catch everything. But while they're looking at your plaque score in your heart, they see everything else in your chest and have actually found with some people, you know, tumors on a lung or things like that, it's under $100. It's out of pocket. I can't recommend it more strongly. MedimageKS.com is the website. Buck Roofing and Construction, Ron Buck and his team will come to you wherever you are. Lake of the Ozarks, Salina, Kansas, doesn't really matter. You need a new roof. Ron Buck is there for you. The inspection is always free. These guys are honest. I get email after email from you that, yep, I did the roof inspection. They said, you're good to go. Call us again in 3 years and have it checked out again because your roof is, 13 years old. Let's take a good, if nothing happens, let's look at it again in 3 years. They do this all the time. They are absolutely 100% honest with you. I've had people send me emails and say they had somebody come out and say they wanted to do $7,000 worth of work. Buck Roofing takes a look at it and spends 20 minutes up there repatching a thing and charges $150 just for the service call. Sometimes it's smaller than that and it's even free. They say, you know what, just give us a call in a year or two for a free inspection. Your roof is good for another 5 years. It happens all the time. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. 360 Document Solutions, the solution for your business. Mark and his guys, well, they're going to set you up with better products and services for your business to make you more efficient. Copiers, printers, toner, IT technology, mailing systems, phone systems, they can do it all. If you call Mark, you get a free analysis of what it is that you're doing and what you could be doing better. If he can't improve what you're doing, he'll tell you, you're in great shape here, you're good. 913-745-5344 or 360 Document Solutions. We have red flags for recession. The Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank says GDP is down -1%. That's the second quarter in a row. That would define a recession. Going backwards 2 quarters in a row is a recession. So we got red flags that it's coming, that we're here, that it's arrived, that the recession is upon us. A worse sign for me is yesterday was June 30th. That's the end of the first half of the year. The S&P 500, it's 500 companies, Standard & Poor 500. 500 companies on the stock exchange, averaged out. It goes up, it goes down. It had been on a boom through the Trump years. The S&P 500, record highs, record. Trump. Biden's in. First 6 months of this year, the worst 6 months in the history of the S&P 500. Now, I want you to remember what happened when COVID hit and everything closed. And the markets dropped from what? 29,000 to 18,000? That was a pretty fast free fall. Those 6 months were not as bad as these 6 months. and nobody's talking about it. The S&P 500 just had the worst first 6 months of a year in the history of the stock market. Every single day, I should just make this a game. Every day I'm going to give you a stat on this podcast, worst since. We just call the segment worst since. Well, it's the worst S&P 500 first half since Jesus? Adam and Eve? It's never. This one's a never. So, well, the S&P 500 hasn't been around since Jesus, but it is the worst ever, which just seems impossible to me that one administration, one party can be so bad and just basically run everything into a ditch. They're really good at running everything into a ditch. Disney has run Buzz Lightyear into a ditch. The new movie Lightyear this summer has bombed. They got rid of Tim Allen and put in Chris Evans to be the voice of Lightyear. And they don't have Woody in this, and it's not a Toy Story movie, and it has very little relation to Toy Story. Tim Allen is speaking out now about this. He says, look, this is a different team of people than put together the four Toy Story movies. There was a charm in the Toy Story movies. It was a collection of characters. There's no Buzz without Woody. You know, when that franchise started, Woody was supposed to be the star. That's Tom Hanks. Woody was supposed to be the star. But the kids fell in love with Buzz Lightyear because he was an astronaut, right? And not the cowboy from the 50s. That makes sense. I understand why it evolved that way. I love Woody. Very wonderful and charming star of the Toy Story movies, but they're all stars. Mr. Potato Head, Slinky. I call my dog Slinky sometimes because my dog is kind of long. When he goes up and down the stairs, he looks a little bit like a Slinky. I love the Toy Story movies. They branch out. They're like, we got the franchise. We're going to do this thing called Lightyear, and it's just bombed. They're going to lose money on it. They didn't have Tim Allen doing it. The story wasn't all that charming. And he's speaking out and said, Tim Allen says it has no relationship to Buzz. And there's nothing about this movie that says Buzz Lightyear. And look, I don't think he's all butthurt that he didn't voice the movie. I think he would have been disappointed with this script if he did voice Buzz Lightyear, although it would have done better. Tim Allen voicing Buzz in this movie would have done better. You just don't know Buzz Lightyear as not Tim Allen's voice. And if you don't know it as not his voice, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. He's alive. He's still in a prime of his career. He could have done this movie, and they didn't want him. He's a conservative. Disney is not. There's a lesbian kiss in this movie. Toy Story has been ruined. Buzz Lightyear has been ruined. They take away the actor. They put a lesbian kiss in the movie. A lot of parents heard there was a lesbian kiss in the movie and said, we're going to pass on that. You can judge those people for who and what they are. It doesn't matter. They're Americans. They get to be who they are. I don't think it belongs in a kid's movie, but it's not a deal breaker for me. Is it cringeworthy? Maybe. In a movie like that, yeah. In another movie, not so much. I know life. I know what goes on out there. I can accept it even in a drama or a story, but this just doesn't seem to be the place for it. They put it in there. I'm going to guarantee you there's a lot of really strong Christian families that said, we're not going. We're not going to go see that movie if there's a lesbian kiss in it. We're just not going to do it. If this is what Disney wants to be, it's what Disney is. I applaud Tim Allen for speaking out. He has said in the past, you have to be careful what you say in this town, because if you don't agree with everyone else, you could be in real trouble. Well, maybe this is it. He's had two wildly successful sitcoms, the Santa Claus movies. Tim Allen's had an unbelievably great career. He was missing from this movie. There's no question about it. And maybe if he were on this movie, he would have talked some sense into their head about a couple of the directions of the script and the plot and the lesbian kiss, and they might have a hit on their hands. That isn't really what Disney does, is it? No, but it's what Paramount does. Because Top Gun has gone over $1 billion. It's not slowing down. It's going to stay in the theaters all summer. It just now got edged out as the number one movie. The Elvis movie beat it by only $1 million last week. So it's got unbelievable staying power, and it just keeps going and going and going. 18% of Top Gun viewers have gone back and seen it again. That is remarkable. That does not happen in 2022. But we know what this is about. They've got a big ad blitz on now about the 4th of July, red, white, and blue. Go see Top Gun. This is the perfect weekend to see it. They show the giant flags hanging in the airplane hangars. and Tom Cruise with his uniform on and the American flag patch on his sleeve, and they've got all this Americana patriotism, and they're getting people to the movies. Disney's gone the other way. They're paying the price. There is a loud, loud, loud statement to Hollywood. Stop with the woke. Even if you are woke, you don't want it at the movies. Just build something for the masses. Make something that entertains us. We love the popcorn. We love the movie stars. We love being lost for a couple hours. Just do that. Don't do the other stuff. It's never been more clear than right now. We appreciate that. Amazing Garage Floors would love the opportunity this summer to come seal your driveway with Seal XP. That's going to help you out a lot this winter when they start throwing salt and sand on your concrete. AmazingGarageFloors.net for people with concrete. Marion Body Shop and the New Car Image online at thenewcarimage.com. Get that complete custom detailing. It's a great gift to give your spouse, guys. For a birthday present, just get the gift card, and when it's time, they will make that car look better than new. Complete custom detailing, better than new. They love your car more than you do, and the ceramic coating on the outside, you won't even believe what happens when it rains. Just rolls right off. It's phenomenal. Marion Body Shop, marionbodyshop.com, the new car image, thenewcarimage.com. All one in the same. We love those guys, and they love your cars. It's 4th of July weekend. KKHI will not be back until Tuesday. We're going to be headed to the Kenny Chesney concert on Saturday night. We'll do a patron post on Saturday morning for all the patrons. We don't stop working here at KKHI, so we'll have the newsletter out this weekend. And I'm very much looking forward to the Kenny Chesney concert at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday night. We're going to play some golf this weekend as well, so that'll be fun. That's it for me. Golf and country music. It isn't really country music, but it's kind of country music. Yeah. Golf and live music. I fill my summertime with a swimming pool, a golf course, and some live music, and I'm good to go. I can go all summer long, man, and it is on. I hope you have a great and safe holiday weekend. And KKHI will be back on Tuesday, the 5th, with a regular episode. And for the patrons, we will have a patrons post coming up for you on Saturday at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.